So it's just really cool. All day long, God has been so at work. You know, we had the Acts 1-8 sermon today, and we had an actual IMB missionary present who could thank you for how you give. Well, guess what our passage is tonight? And we did not talk beforehand. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. So, no, I'm not scared. I've got goosebumps, but not because I'm scared, because God is at work. So please turn to Matthew chapter 9. I just want to share a few remarks here from Matthew chapter 9. This is a story of Jesus and kind of how Jesus conducted his daily life. And we're going to look at this, and then we're going to have a closing song tonight. We are going to have a commissioning prayer, but I do want you to look at this passage with me together. We've been talking about missions today. This has been Mission Sunday. And I want to tell you another story about Grayson as we look at this passage today. You know, when Grayson was about 8 years old, we went on a dream vacation. We went to Disney World. And Grayson was the youngest member of our group that went on that trip. And I'll never forget, we were in Epcot Center, and he was really wanting to ride the rides with us. And one ride in particular he really wanted to ride, he probably wanted to ride it worse than his mom wanted to ride it, was the Tower of Terror. And I'll never forget, every one of those rides like that, you know, they had a minimum height requirement, right? And so here's this 8-year-old boy, he's trying to stand up as tall as he could, and maybe even on his tiptoes a little bit. And he was wanting to make sure that he fit the height requirement. See, they had stuff like that in that park. You know, if you're not this tall, you can't ride the ride. And so here's the deal. He didn't want to be an adult. He just wanted to be tall enough to ride the ride. Now, here's the deal. A lot of you guys here tonight, probably most of you now, there may be somebody God's calling. And if God is calling you to full-time missions, praise the Lord, answer the call. We're praying for God to send people out of our church. But probably most of you are kind of like Grayson on that ride. You really don't see yourself as a full-time missionary. You just want to know, do I really measure up? Can I really serve as a missionary? And I want you to know you can. But there are four things. There are four minimum requirements that come straight out of this passage tonight. So let me read it. We'll pray, and then we'll talk about mission minimums. Mission minimums. The Word of God says in verse 35, Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Notice verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dejected, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, here's that verse you just saw. This is a little bit different translation, but same wording. The harvest is abundant or plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Lord God, our prayer tonight is that you would take your word and that you would use it to penetrate our hearts and to help us to be more like you. Jesus, I thank you that you were on mission every day of your life on this earth, and therefore you accomplished all that your Father set out for you to do. We want to be your servants today in this world, in the 21st century. And so help us, Lord, to understand how we can be like you and serve you and be missionaries in this world. And I also pray that we'd hear the gospel tonight in this passage, and I pray that you'd help me to preach it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what are the four mission minimums? Four things I want to point out tonight as you look at this. And if you want to take notes, this is what's on your outline tonight. Four things I want you to see that you need to be a missionary like Jesus. First thing you need to do is you need to ask God to help you see what Jesus saw. You need to ask God to help you see what Jesus saw. You see Jesus, and he's very busy. He's going around to all these villages and towns. He's teaching, he's healing, he's preaching. He's a busy guy, yet he still saw the crowd. You see that in verse 36? He saw the crowd. What did he see when he saw the crowd? He saw exhausted. He saw hurting. He saw desperate. He saw dead. And he saw the size of the crowd. He saw the size of the need. We talked about that this morning. The lostness is not getting smaller. It's getting greater in this world. What do you see when you see lost people? Do you see an inconvenience, an aggravation? Do you see an alternative lifestyle, a political party, or do you see a human soul that has worth and dignity? Somebody whom Jesus died for. Somebody who will spend eternity somewhere. What do you see when you see the crowd? You see, the fact of the matter is there's a world around us that is broken and hurting. We need to see those kind of people. We need to see them in our everyday lives. We need to see them when we go on mission to places like Montana or wherever God leads us. We've been learning three circles on Wednesday nights. We just completed that, and it was a smaller group this time, but we really had a great time learning that. Jimmy Scroggins is the one who started that. He's a pastor in Florida. There was a sermon I heard Jimmy preach not too long ago that really moved my heart. There were a couple things I took down that he said in this sermon, and it talks to me, it speaks to me about broken, hurting people. This is what Jimmy said. He said, "This world is full of things that are breaking apart." If you don't believe that, all you got to do is turn on the news, right? Or read the news. All kinds of things are breaking apart right around us, right in front of us. And what are people looking for right now? They're looking for something that is going to hold them together. The world's breaking apart. They're wanting to keep things together in their lives, in their families, in their jobs. Who are they looking to? They're looking to government. Maybe they're looking to some person that they think can protect or provide for them. They're looking for things that aren't the real answer. Jimmy says what's really going to hold them together is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He's the answer. And we have the answer. We have the news that they need. So really, the second point, there's a world all around us that is searching in all the wrong places. Ben talked about it a minute ago. People in those small towns in Montana, they're seeking out favor with God through what they do, through being a good person, through works. And so there's people all over the place, everywhere you look, even here, right in this community, that are hurting, they're broken, and you have what they need. Be a missionary. But you've got to see what Jesus saw. You've got to see beyond a difference, maybe a wall, a dividing wall. Don't let politics be a dividing wall. Don't let somebody who's maybe fallen into a lifestyle that's sinful be a dividing wall. Let it be a wall, not a wall, but what brings you to see their brokenness and their need of Jesus Christ. There's a world around us that's broken and hurting, and we need to ask God to help us see what Jesus saw. But second, we need to ask God to help us feel what Jesus felt. Feel what Jesus felt. Again, look at verse 36. He not only saw the crowd, but he felt compassion for them. Jesus had compassion. Now listen, don't tell me you're busy. You're not any busier than Jesus was. He would go from place to place. Sometimes he would be working and ministering and meeting needs from sun up to sundown. It would be easy for him to say, "Man, I'm tired. I'm just checking out tonight. I'm just going to lay low for a little while." And he would get away. By the way, I'm not saying you shouldn't rejuvenate. You ought to take a vacation this summer somewhere. You ought to get away from things. We need a day of rest. But he was still compassionate for people. He was compassionate for people that God brought into his path. He knew that they were hurting. He also knew they were apart from him. And he felt their pain. He had compassion on them. But you know what? He had compassion in another way, and they didn't even realize this. He had compassion because he knew that if they didn't understand the truth, they would end up in hell. They're going to end up separated from him for all eternity. And I mentioned this morning. Our hearts ought to be broken for the problems we see in our world today. These shootings in schools. It ought to break our hearts, and a tear ought to come to our eyes. Or when we see war in places, or places taken over by rogue countries or people. But our hearts ought to also be broken for the lostness around us. And I'm afraid, and it's not just me, I believe that we are just not compassionate like we used to be. I saw a Twitter post by Tom Rainer last night, and it just jarred me. In fact, I sent it out to my staff and my wife, and this is the statement that Tom Rainer made, and I think he's right on target. Rainer says, "We are seeing the death of evangelism across denominational lines and in non-denominational churches." So what he's saying is, evangelicals, the people who are the most evangelistic of all, are not being evangelistic anymore. Folks, we've got to change that. Just like Laura said, we've got to get outside these walls. Do you realize we're most like Jesus when we care for people that nobody else cares for? That person that lives down the street or down the block or 500 or 5,000 miles away that is marginalized and ignored. That's the person that Jesus wants us to see and to feel compassion for. People who feel like they don't fit in. People who do feel lonely from others and isolated and alienated. Yes, people who are different from you and they think differently than you do. We need to love people like that. We need to love people who are imperfect. We need to love the mission more than we love our personal situation. Sometimes I just like to coast in my personal comfort zone. I need to get out of my comfort zone sometimes, maybe a lot of the time. And by the way, if there's anybody here tonight in this room, I don't know if there is, or somebody watching online, if you've never made a commitment to Christ Jesus, He cares about you no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you've been. You're not out of the reach of God's grace. And that's what we need to remember. So we're most like Jesus, not only when we care for people, but when we engage people who are far from God. That's another term that Jimmy Scroggins uses a lot, far from God. Who's your far from God person that you're praying for right now? That person that people would say, man, they'll never get saved. Don't give up praying for them. Don't give up engaging them. They need to hear the gospel. And by the way, these are the kind of people that Jesus consistently reached out to. Where did you see Jesus spending a lot of his time when you read the gospels? With sinners. He was actually called the friend of sinners, and that was meant as an insult. He would hang out with lepers, demoniacs, tax collectors, sinners, publicans. Listen, the arms of Jesus have always been wide open, and his heart is big, and his desire is that lost people be saved. So remember, we're not in the business of throwing rocks. We're in the business of throwing ropes. Some people, you may be the only Bible they ever read. You may be their only opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we want our church to be a safe place for people. If you ever have anybody say, well, can I come to Hillcrest? Will it be safe? You tell them absolutely. You're welcome to come here. We want all kinds of people to come here. In fact, you may have a friend. I had somebody today I was talking to this afternoon. They said, you know, I've got this new neighbor. And this is a person in our church, and he said, you know, I like my new neighbor, he's a nice guy, but I don't think I'm going to invite him to church. He told me he's an atheist. I said, why not? Invite him to church. Show him how much we care, and we care for him, we love him. We want atheists to come to this church. It doesn't matter your skin color, you don't have to be conservative, you don't even have to believe in God to come to Hillcrest Baptist Church. That's what we want. That doesn't mean, by the way, that Jesus agreed with everyone that he went to. Doesn't mean that he condoned sin. It means that he loved people unconditionally. Listen to me. Jesus loves sinners. We've got to feel what Jesus felt. Thirdly, we need to ask God to help us know what Jesus knew. We need to help ask God to help us know what Jesus knew. Now, again, I'm kind of preaching to the choir tonight. I know that you know what Jesus knew. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You know that there is no other name by which we may be saved. We know that there is one way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I know you know all that. You're my Sunday night crowd. But here's the deal. Tomorrow is Monday morning. And even though you know all that in here, when you get out there, sometimes you forget about it. Sometimes I forget about it. And we act like practical atheists. We don't need to do that. We need to always be mindful of the fact that Jesus died for sinners and that Jesus offers salvation. You know, when I read this verse and I think about what Jesus was doing in these villages and towns and synagogues, I'm reminded that Jesus has authority over all things. Isn't that what Jesus said? Matthew 28. Great Commission, before he left this earth, he said what? All authority has been given to who? To him. What does that mean? It means Jesus has all authority. He has all authority to heal. He has all authority to cast out demons. He has all authority over disability and disease. He also has all authority over the devil. He has all authority to save. and he's still in the saving business. You know what this tells me? This tells me, and we talked about this morning. How many people are there in the world now? Today, almost 8 billion people. Not very many in Montana, right? Out of that 8 billion. But 4.5 billion of those people are lost. But some of them in Montana, some of them in Missouri, are ready to be saved. God is still drawing people. And he's drawing people to himself, but he needs you to be his voice. How can they believe without a preacher? And so we need to keep sending people. We need to send ourselves. So the world needs to hear and receive the gospel. Let's talk about that just for a moment, okay? Let's talk about the gospel. And I'm so glad Ben brought this question up, because I wanted to preach about that tonight. God laid that on my heart to preach about. When we talk about the gospel, hearing and receiving the gospel, what we're really talking about is grace. You know, there's a song we sing from time to time. It's called Amazing Grace. And that song is a great song. I bet you could probably sing that first line right now, or you could at least say it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch. Now, you probably don't use that word very often in common everyday language. When's the last time you used wretch? I know you sang it this morning. That beautiful song Steve has been teaching to us. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. It has the word wretch in the first line. You know, when you look up that word wretch, it talks about how it's a scoundrel. A rascal, a villain, someone who is despicable. So if you're not familiar with the word wretch, you could just sing it that way the next time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved despicable me. Because that's what we are. We're all wretches without Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But God, man, in the middle of that section, it says, but God. God took grace. God had favor on us. God sent his son to this earth to die for our sins. It is by grace you are saved through faith and not of works, so that no man should boast. So when we see people, and you know what? There are a lot of people that are like what Ben said. There's a lot of people right here. They know they've done wrong. You don't have to remind them of that. They know that they've done things, said things against people, done things against people that are wrong and sinful. And they have a conscience. And they carry things to bed with them at night. They'll say, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that, but I did. And maybe they did that last night, or maybe they did that 10 years ago. There's all kinds of people that really are far from God in our eyes, and they're not coming to the church, but they still feel guilty. And they still try to make up for it. They still try to do things. They feel, man, if I could only just do enough good things, if I could maybe give a little more money or do something really, volunteer in some way. A lot of people love to volunteer because it makes them feel good. And you know what? It's good to volunteer. I love that. I love to volunteer myself. But they're doing it because they're wanting to get right with God. And you know what that is? That's religion. Religion is saying, man, if I can get right with God if I'll just do enough good things. If I can do something to earn his favor. That's religion. And there's a lot of religion in the world. But Christianity is not a religion. I guess it might be defined as a religion, but it's a relationship. That's what we're trying to talk to people about. You need a relationship with Jesus. Jesus says, I've already done what I need to do. It is finished. I paid for your sins on the cross. Just come and trust me. Turn away from your sin and trust me. That's the simple message that we share. And so that's the minimum message we can share. That's a minimum requirement. You've got to be willing and able to share the gospel. Now, you can share a lot more, too. You can share your testimony. You can talk about how God has done good things in your life. God has been with you. He's for you, not against you. All those things are true. But share the gospel. Share the whole gospel, because that's what saves people. That's what changes lives. Ask God to help you know what Jesus knew. Then, lastly, we get to verse 38. Ask God to help you do what Jesus did. Ask God to help you do what Jesus did. Actually, I'll back up here and start in verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. You know, a lot of you will say, well, I can't do what Jesus did. I can't heal anybody. I don't have the time or the ability to go where he went. I can't preach like he preached. No, you can't. You can't do that. But you can do what he's given you to do. You can be faithful in your own way. You can do what he's skilled you to do. In fact, there's a great saying. I love this saying, and I haven't used this in a while, so I'll break it out on you again. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And what I should do and can do, by the grace of God, I will do. That ought to be our attitude. So what must we do? What should we do? Well, first of all, they said it early, we've got to pray. We've got to be a praying church. And so we've been doing these awakening services. We're going to start doing them again. I'm going to test the waters and see if I can get a church or two to join us like we tried to do last summer and it didn't work out. That's okay. We had some wonderful times just with us, but we're going to have another awakening. Look for one coming in July. Come to these awakenings. Let's be a praying church. Pray on your own. Let's keep praying for revival. Let's keep praying for God to raise up workers. We've got to pray for God to make conditions right so people will want to be saved, want to hear the gospel, want to be open to the message. We must pray. We've got to give too. I didn't have that in my notes tonight, but I'm going to mention it since Phil mentioned it, and it's biblical. We need to be generous givers. As God gives us opportunity and resources, we need to give. It's all God's anyway. We're just stewards of what He's entrusted to us. So give as God leads you. If God leads you to give to their ministry, give. Give willingly. Give generously. Give gladly. Hilariously, I think it says in 2 Corinthians 9. But lastly, we must go. We must go. We've got to get outside these walls. I know they've got to get outside the walls in Montana, but we got to get outside the walls right here. We've seen it before. When we've canvassed this neighborhood, we've met people who've never set foot in a church door. Somebody told Keith Reether a few years ago they'd never heard the gospel until he shared it. There's people right around us that need to hear the gospel. The world is in desperate need. But listen, we've got to see what Jesus saw. We've got to feel what Jesus felt. We've got to know what Jesus knew. And we've got to go and do what Jesus did. We've got to go. So at Hillcrest Baptist Church, this is my prayer, that we would care about every lost soul. People who are near us in our community, but also people who are far away, who have never had an opportunity to hear about Jesus. Jesus was very concerned about every lost soul. That's what this whole day has been about. We've been focusing on missions. So will you be a missionary? You meet the minimum requirements. You meet the height requirements. You can do all those things. Just have eyes like Jesus did. Just have a compassion in your heart for people. Just keep in mind what the gospel is all about. You know it. Just know it on Monday through Friday. And then be willing to do what Jesus did and go to the people. People who are hurting, like sheep without a shepherd. People who need Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can fix their brokenness. Would you bow with me and pray right now? Steve's going to come up and lead us in a closing song in just a moment. But this is also an invitation. And so if God is speaking to your heart tonight, you come to this altar. Come to the altar and pray. Pray if there's some lost person on your heart. Somebody that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe you've just gotten lax in prayer because you've really given up. You've really felt like there's just no way. Or maybe you just need to make some commitment to the Lord. And there's nothing like putting a stake in the ground saying you mean business, that just come to this altar and praying. Saying, Lord, I will be that one. I'm only one, but I'll be that one for you in my life, in my job, in my career, in my neighborhood. This is the time to think about missions, to think about revival. Or maybe there's some other call on your life. Or maybe there's somebody here tonight that wants to rededicate their lives or even be saved. That's what this invitation is for. It's a time for you to take next steps towards a loving Heavenly Father who sent His loving Son to this earth so He could minister to the people, be around the people. He came to seek and save what was lost. And He proved it by dying on the cross. He died on that cross and took the wrath of God on Himself. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you for suffering what we deserved. You who knew no sin became sin so that we might experience your righteousness. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But we can freely receive it by turning to you and looking to you and trusting you. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I just pray that now as we've heard this message and heard from this couple who are going to be spending this summer in Montana, that you would bless their mission. And we're going to pray for them in a moment. But bless our hearts now, Lord. Speak to us and help us to have tender hearts that are quick to respond to you. Have your way in this place. May your will be done. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.